You're listening to a podcast from thebodypro.com. The following podcast was recorded at the 14th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections, also known as CROI 2007. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, please visit us online at thebodypro.com.
So far as Matthias Egger's plenary session, looking at cohort data and looking at comparisons in different regions of the world, in both industrialized and in developing countries, and was very interesting in that showed some striking similarities. So I think one of his most striking slides was he had a map of the world and introduced kind of country by country the initial CD4 count of persons with HIV starting therapy, and that across the globe, except for a few rare exceptions, patients are starting with CD4 counts below 200. So everyone is really starting therapy late, and the implications of that, although there were some countries in sub-Saharan Africa that were even lower, but across the board, really advanced disease. And some of the interesting things he showed was, so far as outcomes go and mortality, that while there was higher mortality, looking at four African cohorts that had very good follow-up data compared to the RCC, which is 16 cohorts in Europe and North America, once you accounted for CD4 count differences, those differences became closer. And actually, some of the North American and European cohort mortality, so far as number of deaths in patient years, was the same as was seen in the African countries. And also an interesting slide was looking at the timing of death. So in Africa, I think it's been well described, is you see a lot of early deaths after starting heart, and the question of, is it immune reconstitution, tuberculosis, other opportunistic infections. But then after that initial period of high mortality, the slopes of kind of death over time compared to industrialized country seem to be fairly similar. So that really just striking differences, but I think more so the similarities looking at industrialized and developing countries.
Why was that unexpected?
I just think if you polled most persons that they would have not expected that. I think it's similar to at the International AIDS Conference, and there was a recent publication looking at adherence in Africa compared to industrialized countries, and I think there are a lot of persons before the rapid rollout and scale-up of ART expressing some reservations about adherence, whether it's due to different factors in less developed countries, so far as access to care and people's ability to get medications and take them might not be as good, but their data look really good, and that in Africa the adherence is as good or better than it's been in North America and Europe. So I would suspect a lot of people before seeing Matthias's data would expect the same thing, that the outcomes would be very dissimilar in these different regions because of largely, I think, structural and infrastructural and barriers. But it seems like with good infrastructure, I think the important thing is that the four settings that he kind of compared to the North American had really good systems of infrastructure and follow-up and delivery of healthcare and delivery of medications, that with that level of program that you can achieve outcomes very comparable to what we're seeing in industrialized countries.
What were the specific places that he
I can't remember off the top of my head. Do you remember the four sites?
So there are different sites depending upon the analyses, but there was a site in Cote d'Ivoire. There was a site in Malawi, which is a UNC site, in Lilongwe. And there were two other places. One, I think, in Uganda.
And was one in South Africa?
And one might have been in South Africa. Yeah, it was. So I think that it's a pretty diverse group of places in Africa. And they've done a lot of data before comparing these. I also think that it was really remarkable that the number of antiretroviral regimens and the choices. So they're able to achieve in these places comparable success rates with ART as we are with much fewer therapeutic options. So with the menu of options here, and we had over 59 different possible combinations that people would start on, and they had much fewer. Mm-hmm. Much less than half of that.
Six. Yeah. No, I think the numbers were striking. Just he showed
like three
kind
to
of
six
in North America,
places.
Canada, Europe, the number of different initial regimens over this time period, which was fairly contemporary. I think he focused on 2003 to 2005, so really tried to focus on a pretty contemporary period, and then would show for the African nations, and it was, three to six.
Three to six was
the number of different regimens for initial therapy.
Right. So I think that is really impressive. And I agree completely with you, Michael, that if you ask most people, they would say, no, people in Africa just don't get as much success as we do here. And we just learned, of course, also in the New England Journal, there was an article from Haiti where they rolled out therapy, and it's turning out to have success rates that are historically, at least, comparable to...
Well, wasn't the adherence better in Haiti?
Well, there, you know, it depends. I think they have a good program where they have people who accompany people to clinic, and they go to their houses, home-based care, so adherence can be very good there, and that may explain part of it. But we're finding in Africa that people are super adherent.
And doing really, really well.
Really.
Yeah. It was really nice, I think the paper in JAMA, and then they had a poster presentation at the International AIDS Conference just showing adherence being as good or better than has been reported.
As long as they can afford it. As long as it's provided.
As long as medications are
provided for
free. Was a big.
If they're not provided for free, adherence drops off completely.
Uh-huh.
So they can afford it.
So this talk, it was really good news for the developing world, but not so good news for the industrialized world?
Well, I think it was still good for the industrialized world. Uh-huh. I still think the outcomes were quite good, and what we all are experiencing. I think there are still problems highlighted. I think one of the things Matthias highlighted was the challenge of loss to follow-up.
Right.
And he focused on that specifically in the developing world, but from personal experience and interest, we have similar problems here with patients being lost to follow-up, falling out of care, coming back into care. And I think that's an important thing domestically, as well as just understanding what are some of the barriers and problems that people are facing that's kind of keeping them from consistently remaining engaged in care.
Is that particularly a problem in the South? You're from the South?
I know it is it, for us and in the South. There's not a lot published about adherence to care and retention to care nationally, but when you see, commonly you'll see patients having missed visits, and across studies, patients who miss visits tend to do worse with various outcomes, whether it's receiving medications, achieving viral suppression, clinical endpoints, clinical outcomes, that there's a small but pretty strong, as you'd expect, evidence base saying patients who stay in care and continuous care do well. And from our own personal experience, we have a lot of patients who, with missed visits and kind of falling out of care, and you know, to think about some of the potential barriers, the high comorbid substance use, mental illness, are they playing roles? Competing needs, transportation, housing, childcare. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons to suspect why, and not to mention the stigma, trust. You know, a lot of other factors that might be playing a role for persons to stay in care. Mm-hmm. And then system level things too. I mean, what as a healthcare system can we do to make the system and the clinic a place that's easier to come to and easier to make visits and stay in care?
If you turn around, there's a poster that's looking at clinical outcomes based upon rural and urban environments. So it's not exactly the South, because if you look, there's not a lot of places in the South that are represented, especially rural South, which is a shame for this analysis.
I was interested
analysis.
Too, because in looking at the numbers, I think this is an important question, and one that we could, with you and Sonia and Joe, really answer. You know, of 8,600 patients, 170 are rural, where if we looked at your clinic and our clinic in North Carolina and Birmingham, you know, and even CDC data, it's the majority of rural persons with HIV live in the South. And it's really another understudied area, I think, is just...
People haven't looked at it, and this is a first attempt, like a stab at it, and I think it's really important. But with this poster, which has been conducted under the auspices of a bunch of different people, but lead authors from Hopkins, I think it's interesting to look that there was no difference in the kind of outcomes you would care about in people who are living in an urban environment versus a rural environment, and that's reassuring. But there were less visits, office visits by people in rural areas, and I think it gets to exactly what Michael was talking about. There's obstacles in the South that don't exist necessarily in other places. There's not a whole lot of transportation system, public transportation. Mm-hmm. People live far away from their clinics. You just can't drop a token and go see your doc. And I think in this particular instance, big take-home message for me was how African-Americans were more likely not to receive HIV therapy. Whether you're in an urban environment or a rural environment. So rurality didn't turn out to be as big a deal as being black. And I think that this is something we're seeing fairly consistently over the last few years, and that's more concerning to me. It would be nice, though, to have this rounded out with a real representative population from the southern HIV experience that's much more rural.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from thebodypro.com. For more podcasts and full coverage of major HIV medical conferences, please visit us online at thebodypro.com.